that this guy that they're, you know, submitting themselves to, and they're in his hands. There's been a famine, and they're coming down from, you know, northern regions of the, what we call the Holy Land, and they're in Egypt, and they need help. And the guy that whose hands they fall into is none other than the brother. The brother that they had betrayed and sold off to a passing caravan. And now they're in his hands. And instead of him being vindictive and bitter, he is gracious and loving. Verse number 20, Genesis 50, verse 20. He's making some statements to them to comfort their hearts. He can see how terrified they are. And if you remember the story, and you got to read those last few chapters, but he breaks down. He has them close the doors of the palace. And he literally, they heard him weeping. Because it was so awesome to see his family again. He had no ill will, though he had power and authority over them. He had nothing but goodness and grace to give them. And it's an amazing story. And it really preaches to us today. Verse 20, Genesis 50. But as for you, he says, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. This is how you were thinking. You know, over here, kind of. But there, that mountain, those hills, those mountains, my brother was talking about. God, you know, Isaiah tells us his thoughts are high above our thoughts, as the heavens are above the earth. God's thoughts were, he meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. I find it fascinating, the raw material God uses to make miracles out of. He takes betrayal. I mean, rank stupidity and ugliness. And he turns it around and produces out of it deliverance. Wow, what a God. If he could make everything out of nothing, what could he make out of us? So just about the point when we feel like we're nothing, you're getting ready for God to make something out of you. Because he's got a great track record in that department. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yes. Verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not. I love these words. I will nourish you. I've not only forgiven you. And we've had 3 forgiveness revivals here. Anybody remember the forgiveness revivals we've had in our church? 3 forgiveness revivals. Very real. I'd never put those two words together until I came here. Forgiveness revival. I'd never put those two words together. Been preaching revivals for years and years and years. Never put those two words together. And every time there's a forgiveness revival, 3 or 4 things happen. Number 1, he blesses our finances. Number 2, he touches our children. Rebuilds bridges. And brings amazing blessings on us. And brings people that have been out back in forgiveness revivals. Whew, do it again, Lord. Do it again, do it again. So not only are they forgiven, but he says, I will nourish you. That's powerful. And your little ones. And he comforted them. The opposite of what they were expecting. And spake kindly unto them. I want to tell you that what God was trying to help them see was what we often, and I know, I'm sure, I don't want to count the many times when I missed it, but then I saw it maybe later with the help of God. The big picture. The priority of seeing the bigger picture. Joseph presented that to them. You were thinking down here, but up on that mountain, this is how God saw it. I was using all those mistakes and all the bizarre craziness And there have been days in my life when I remember getting up into a pulpit in Lynchburg and saying, sometimes I have to negotiate around stacks of the bazaar just to get to the pulpit. God can use it all when we give it up to him. As a matter of fact, that coat that his daddy had made for him, I didn't know this till I think it was this morning when I was reading and studying about this. You know, a coat of many colors, there's something in the Hebrew that speaks of pieces of many colors. Or in other words, that it was sort of like a quilt, or, you know, you just take a bunch of pieces and you sew them together and then something beautiful comes out of it. The very coat he wore was a testimony of the life that he lived. Pieces. Pieces. God taking all the pieces. Would you lift your hands and let's ask him to speak to us. Oh, yeah. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your grace. We're here by the grace of God. We're here because you love us, Lord. We're here, Lord, because your hand is on us. Oh, thank you for that, God. We're here because of your mercy, Lord. Great is your mercy, Lord, the goodness of the Lord that we sang about. Can anybody wave your hand and tell me that there's been some goodness of the Lord in your life? Oh, praise God. The goodness of the Lord never fails. Something good, something true is going to come out of this. Would you clap to the Lord a praise offering? You may be seated. Joseph went through a lot of craziness. He went through a lot of pain. And sometimes we can get trapped in the immediate pain of our present problem and not see the larger purposes. When my brother spoke of that, what was it, ski lift? Going up the mountain. We rode that down there. Now, right outside Albuquerque. Those mountains. And I don't know how many times our little brother Gary has been on that ski lift. The Bible says we're seated together in heavenly places. We're in Christ and we're seated together in heavenly places. And we look down, and in that, you know, we gain perspective. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, notice this how it's written, runneth. In other words, keeps on running into the name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, praise God. I got to stand on top of the World Trade Center before it crashed. I'll never forget looking down over New York City. And everything looks different when you're in the top of the tower. One of the things we need most sometimes in our hearts and lives is the gift of perspective. If we could climb the tower of his name, if we could climb that hill, that mountain. Anybody remember when they were fighting the Amalekites? And God leads Moses to go up to the top of the hill. And he takes Aaron and Hur, and he lifts up his staff. He lifts up the rod of God. And while General Joshua and his boys are fighting the Amalekites, as long as Moses kept his hands up. Oh, praise God. You know what that's a picture of? As long as we stay surrendered. Yes. Yes. Sister Mary's got an amazing story of somebody that held up her store. We've got to have her tell you this story sometime soon. And she wasn't sure what to do. And if I remember, I think you threw your hands up and just started talking in tongues. Scared the guy half to death. Just threw her hands up. She didn't know what to do, so she just did what she was good at, praising God. And so she threw her hands up and started talking in tongues. I think he ran out of there, didn't he? Oh, he didn't. He hung around for a little while until God gave him a spank. But anyway, I mean, when you don't know what to do, just praise him. Hallelujah. God can use everything like a patch quilt, stuff that you don't get. But when you get to the top of the mountain, as long as he kept his hands up, oh, praise God. And when they got weary, there was an Aaron and a Hur there to hold up his arms, because as long as he kept his hands up down in the valley, you see, up there on the mountain, God gave him the gift of something that we often don't have. God gave them the gift of the big picture. As long as they stayed up and thought high, you know, kept themselves, with a good positive attitude, an optimist, Brother Tim, I'm an optimist. Yes. Praise God. We're going to put a picture of you in the bulletin. You got, I almost said underneath it, our most eligible bachelor. But I wanted to live another day, but you never, I mean, God, Tim is so amazing. He's got a big old heart. He's blessing people, loving people. I think more than half this church knows that if you get in an emergency, you call, you pray to Jesus and you call Brother Tim. Hello. Praise God. He loves people. He's a servant. Oh, hallelujah. He's a servant. That's a high calling, to be a servant. Amen. So we published a picture of him with the suit on and a tie. Praise God. Oh, my. Let's put it in there. He leads a ministry that we call the ministry of helps. There is a ministry in the New Testament that speaks of the ministry of helps. And if you need help, and I'm not trying to get any more pressure on you, Brother Tim, but you know, and he pours his heart out and blesses. He's been through a lot of heartache. He wouldn't tell you that, but he's been through a lot of heartache. So he understands what it feels like when you get into a train wreck, or you see, God groomed him. Everything God can use in this patch quilt. Oh, praise God. Pieces, sometimes jagged stuff that doesn't seem to make sense in the smaller picture, but when you climb the mountain and you get a larger perspective and you see, oh my goodness, I see the hand of the Lord in all of this. He's not forsaken me. He's doing stuff. He's got plans and he's engineering. I'm not supposed to get wound up like this, am I? I think I heard Lisa say, come on, come on, see, come on, Pastor, praise God. So, most of us, any story about the Titanic fascinates me. And I've been on up there in Newfoundland and on that big island, and I've been on the eastern side, which they say is the closest land to where the Titanic went down. Now, I don't know if you knew this, Bruce, but there was a doctor from Fond du Lac on the Titanic, lost his life on the Titanic. So from our old hometown, praise God for his mercy and his grace. But there was 1,500 people lose their lives. They didn't have enough lifeboats. One of them kept coming back to pick up people. There's a lot of stories that came out, true stories that came out of this tragedy. But they were doing, what do they call it? It's like they were trying to put together the facts of why it happened and how it happened and why it did and why couldn't they have seen the iceberg. And so there was a guy, he was the lookout. His name was Frederick Fleet. Interesting name, Frederick Fleet. And they had him testifying in court about the fact that he was the lookout. Why didn't he see the iceberg a long ways off? And he said, well, here was the problem. He said, I requisitioned a set of binoculars and was turned down twice before we left England. I tried to get a pair of binoculars. And both times when I put the request in, here's some history. We never got, he said, if I'd had a pair of binoculars up in the lookout, if I'd been able to see the bigger picture. Oh, come on now. Run into the name today. If you don't understand what's happening, run into the name. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous runneth. They make a habit. Runneth into the name. We get up there in his name. And we see things differently in this wise God. This smart God. This God who knows all things. Has plans. Has pieces and patchwork designs that he's going to weave into the robe that you're going to wear. And when you wear it, people will know you have been through pain and you've been through tornadoes and you've been through hurricanes. But the hand of God is on you and you're there to testify to them that they can make it as well. Would you lift your hands and let's praise him. Woo! Yeah. All for the want of a pair of binoculars. He said, if I'd had them in that lookout, we would have seen the iceberg in time to have stopped the ship and saved hundreds of lives for the want of the big picture. Hallelujah. God is at work. How many of you saw, I didn't know this even existed. I referred to it a week or so ago. The clip of Dwayne Haskins, quarterback. I know that we have no Buckeye fans here, right? And got to be careful because we got some Badgers that have come down from Wisconsin. I want you to love them and bless them. One of the greatest football teams of all time right now is up there. Every year. You can never count them out. That's for sure. Praise God. But I didn't know it existed. Anybody ever seen this clip of Dwayne Haskins? When he was 8, Brother Bob. I all of a sudden, there it was. Standing at a gas mart. They're playing this clip. He's 8 years old. He's in the Ohio State locker room. And he's got a jersey on and it's number 7. And he lived in Maryland. Go figure. And he's saying, I'm coming here someday. He had a big picture. Many of us, if we would just seek the Lord. I mean, really wait on him. He wants to give us a vision for our life. We're down here in the lowlands, but if we could climb the mountain, Charles, if we could climb the mountain, who would have thunk? Here's Charles, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh my, who would have thunk? Who would have thought? Oh, that somehow God would engineer. God is at work. Ladies and gentlemen, the hand of God is on us. He is at work. Your life might feel like a crazy patchwork combination of designs and things that make no sense until you climb the mountain. And Joseph says, I know what you were thinking about it. I know you were jealous. Ever look at the word jealous? Jalousy? Oh, I'm sorry, jealousy? The biggest part of jealousy is lousy. Jalousy. When you're around people that are jealous, they always feel and look lousy. You know? It messes them up. They don't look right. But when you're celebrating everybody, you know what I want to do? I want to just cheer everybody on, Brother Paul. I want to cheer. I want to encourage everybody. Come on now. We're in this together. I want to encourage everybody. Come on. Be the best that you can be. The hand of God is on your life. There's an anointing. Let him use you. Let him flow through you. You're a part of his design. And I don't fully get it. But I know that when I climb the mountain. Oh, come on now. He's worthy. He's worthy. So this 8-year-old kid, he's saying, I'm coming back. I'm going to be here. Now, how many of you know that an 8-year-old, how's he know? A lot of stuff. How does he know he's going to be that good of an athlete? And that he's going to be selected. And that he's going to make first team. And that he's now considered for the Heisman. But he's prophesying, I'm coming back, and when I do, I'm going to be quarterback, and my number's going to be number 7. Come on now. Where's your vision? What does God want to do with you? Huh? Come on now. He wants to do something beautiful through you. How he will enable you. He will quicken you. He will call. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Hallelujah. He will qualify you with an anointing, with fire, with passion. He will touch you and lift you. Climb the mountain with him and get the priority. Get the value. Capture the pricelessness of a big picture. I don't know, Brother Bruce, how, because they tell me this. When I was 2, I told them I would be a preacher. I'm not sure, Sister Sheena, if I even knew what that was. Because if I had, I'd probably have gone into mourning or something. You know, I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing. But, you know, ask one of our, you know, well, our 2-year-olds, they might probably be able to tell, because they're so well schooled. But that's what I told them. Dwayne Haskins, number 7. I'm going to be quarterback here at Ohio State. And about 11 years later, he is. And I'm sure it was an accident, right? Wrong. He captured the bigger picture. Oh, come on now. How many of you know all the qualifying he had to do to even be recruited by this great university, which has the largest fan base, I'm told, in the entire country? How did he know what all the things that had to fall in place? But somehow God put a dream inside of him. Praise God. Can I say some things to you? God is not done with you. Brother and Sister Bruce Meadows, God is not done with you. There's a special anointing on both of you. There are prophetical things that he still, can I be bold? Thank you. There are still prophetical things. Amen. Sometimes, you know what? We think we'll do this and do that, and that's okay as long as he's in it. But I'm telling you what, sometimes we think he's done with us and he's only getting warmed up. Oh, praise God. Hey, Sister Gwen, put up that amazing scripture. This was our prayer scripture. My brother did not know what I was going to preach on. She didn't know. So I'm walking around. And I'm looking up there and I'm reading Proverbs 19:21. What translation? Okay. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Many are the plans. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And that word purpose is what's been jumping around on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Most of the morning. Purpose, purpose. You are apprehended for a purpose. You are needed. There's nobody quite like you. You are a masterpiece of you. Nobody in the universe who has your fingerprints and your DNA. Nobody that has the same collection of hurts and wounds and victories and overcomings and obstacles. Nobody. You are the perfect you as far as I'm concerned. You're a masterpiece. And when he plugs you in, you are the key to somebody's lock. Isn't that amazing? You know that little scripture? And we know what? That all things work together. Work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his what? His purpose. Just climb the mountain if you need a bigger picture. Just climb the mountain. Oh, praise God. I got to tell you this true story. I heard Joel Osteen tell about the time in their lives when his wife lost her wedding ring. Crazy, crazy embarrassing. So I guess, was it Joel's mom that noticed after a while? Because she lost it for, I think it was around 3 years or so. Could not find it, Joy. Looked for it everywhere. Embarrassed that, you know. So I think it was Joel's mom that asked her about it. And she said, oh. She said, it's kept in a real safe place. Joel said, right. We didn't even know where it was, but it was in a safe place. Right. Looked for it for years. So they did this meeting in Texas, and they're driving home. Don't mess with Texas. Come on now. You live to regret it. If you don't believe that, dig up Sam Houston's bones and ask him about that. Okay. Don't mess with Texas. Woo! There's a little bit of history there, brother. They pulled him over. They were so embarrassed. And come to find out this guy was related to a man that was in his church. Joel's church. Little old church, you know. Runs around, I don't know what it is. 35, 50,000 something. It's kind of a large home mission work. And so he talked with him and he said, well, could you show me your insurance papers? And they thought, oh no. So Victoria, she was going through her purse and just turning everything upside down in the car, and finally got into the glove compartment. And this guy's waiting very patiently, very kind man, dressed like he walked out of a catalog, you know. Praise God. Yes, sir. And finally she said, she was digging around, all of a sudden, I think it was her little finger, said, hit something. Sharp. Kind of felt sharp. Hard and sharp. So she thought, what? She reached in there, pulled out her wedding ring. I don't think she knew how it got lost down in the deep corners of a glove compartment box in the car. But here they are, embarrassed by being pulled over. You know what God sometimes does? He pulls us over and he gives us a little shakedown. And while we're being shaken down, we discover something we've lost. Come on now, some of you have giftings. Some of you have giftings. You have anointings. And the Lord wants to trust that if he's going to work in you in that way, you've got to have character and integrity and honesty and transparency. And so sometimes it looks like there's a great big old shakedown going on. But the deal is, he's trying to get you to bump into your assignment and bump into your calling and bump into your gifting. Amen. Lift your hand. Let's thank God for his mercy. Oh, dear God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Wonderful Lamb, thank you for every time, Lord, I felt under inspection. Thank you for every time, Lord, I felt like you were giving me a shakedown. Oh my, in the name of Jesus, you were wanting me to rediscover giftings that have never left. Anointings that have never left me. I remember when Brother Morgan was here. What an amazing preacher, teacher. And I don't mean this last time, but I mean, well, it was a couple, 3 years ago out of Awakenings. And it was the kind of like the daytime sessions. And we had some kind of a neat, crammed a whole lot of preachers into a small room and had him address us. And he had us praying. And so he had us reaching out to God in faith for the Lord to use all of us. And he told some of his experiences. And I ran up there and asked him to lay hands on me. And he started to pray. And like he stopped. And he grabbed the microphone and he said, some of you are asking for God to give you something that's already operating in you. You've already got it. Oh, praise God. Let it out. Let it loose. It's already in you. It's, you know, we can get so busy and so fraught with peril, dancing through the minefield of meetings and pressures, storms, challenges, and betrayals that we forget he put some things in here. And sometimes we come to an altar and he does a great big shakedown, not to embarrass us, to get us to rediscover his original intentions and his original unction and his original anointing, the assignment that he gave us years ago that has not faded away because there's still a harvest to reach. Woo, anybody wave your hand at me? Wow, she found the ring. We got the phone call about Brianna, our precious, beautiful redhead teenager. I told Jimmy Stark about a day or two ago, by the way, Jimmy, where's your dad? He said, he's down that way. And I said, the first day of awakenings, one of our kids was hit by a car. Oh, he didn't know that, and so there was a whole lot going on that week, and there were numerous reasons why I couldn't be as much in that meeting as I needed to be. But little Brianna went flying through the air. Just thinking about some of the things, Bob, that we've been through lately, just of late. This, when you're around Brianna, she kind of looks at you and kind of grins, and she has you eating out of her hand, you know, without even saying a word. It's like, she smiles, and it's like, I think the angels go, did you see that? She smiled again. Is that awesome, Gabe? What is that awesome? Michael, come over here. She's smiling again. She's just got an angelic smile. And he was right down here. I know Nevin had to come and get her about a week ago. She had a fractured shoulder, broken leg, fractured pelvis, all cut up and stuff. And she's walking her. Now tell me this, Gina. She's got a grandma that's an intercessor and a church that's been covering her in prayer. She's walking around the church loving on everybody and praising the Lord. Because you see, God's hand is on her and he's not done with her. He has purposes. He has purposes. If you climb the mountain, if you go a little higher and get above the smog and the fog, you discover that God loves you so much. And he has an assignment that only you can do quite that unique way. Is it okay to preach like this? Pray for me. I should not. They do call me Reverend, and I feel like if I don't get revved, I'm not giving them their money's worth. And she's walking around. Think about, listen, when I look at our church, we've taken some hits. Brother and Sister Dinkins are in Florida, are some of our chief leaders. And we miss them. But here she is 2 weeks later. Should have been in a hospital for months. And we get the word when I'm standing up there talking to Layla, her mom. There's going to be no need for surgery. Explain that to me. Busted pelvis, busted shoulder, broken leg. But no need for surgery. No need for surgery. No need for surgery. What? That sounds like a 6-month surgery assignment. No, because the hand of God came down on her and saved her and preserved her, and prayers cover her, and her healing has been sped up, accelerated by a gracious God. Come on home. Wow. When we got the news of Bob's accident, he's so unique, as you know. I want to tell you what, Brother Bob and Brother Paul have the ministry of comedy. It's that, yeah, and you can tell they're twins. Every church has got to have a couple of these kind of guys. Just to help us not take ourselves too seriously. Yeah. And in case they haven't heard, Paul, your accident on that four-wheeler, supposed to be 6 months of busted ribs. You go back, what, 2 weeks later? And the doctor's saying, it takes 6 months to heal busted ribs. I can't find the broken ribs. Which ones are the broken? Because I can't find any broken ribs. Would you explain that to me? No surgery. No operate. Oh my. Hallelujah. He is a healer. He's a restorer of the breach. Hallelujah. He's a renewer. He's a refresher. He's a God of power. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of the supernatural. And he can touch you and put favor on you and put you into the future with promises and unusual blessing. 2 weeks instead of 6 months. I like that. So we hear, we get it, we see a picture. But what I didn't hear was, did he survive it? I looked at the truck. Oh, come on, Jesus. I was walking around. I'm telling you, Joy, you know I'm not, I'm just very soft-spoken and very... You're laughing too hard over there. And I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the angel of death. I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm walking around the house. I rebuke the angel of death. In the name of Jesus, touch Bob right now. Lord, I mean right now. And I told him today when he was standing down here. I said, Brother Bob, I used some leverage on him. I said, hey, God. I knew this would get him if nothing else did. Because I know how tender his heart is, God's heart. I said, God, he's the one that brings me coffee after I preach. He's the one that loves your servants. That's who I'm praying for. I knew God would understand why I brought that out, because not too many people are given to the ministry of the ministry. Yeah, and hallelujah. Sometimes I get caught up, and I've seen him there. I think he has to go back and warm the coffee up again. If I get caught up in the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, he's trying to bring me a cup of hot coffee. Sister Mary, he's got to go warm it up again, because, whoa, man, we are jazzed, and God is good and blessing. And I said, Lord, this is the guy. We're not just praying for anybody. We're praying for him, and we didn't hear for, I'm going to say, an hour or more, if he even survived it. We were just believing. How many of you prayed for him that day? You remember the text blast we sent out? Because he does a lot of unique things around here. Besides being a very unique person. You can go out to eat in a restaurant and you got to have a Paul or a Bob or both of them there. Because if you do, don't just put your watch in your pocket and forget that you've got anything else to do. You just let them minister joy and fun. Because that's what they, and when you put them together, who was it that they said invented the atomic bomb? That it's atomic, it's nuclear, it's, and even the waiters and waitresses are going to have a blast. Son, as they say in the deep south, son. But I thought, Brother Joe, I thought we had maybe lost him. And I had almost like a spirit of terror picking at my brain, you know, thinking about, oh, I'm going to tell you what, there was, they had to tell people not to come up there. God has given them a vision for their future. And it has to do with blessing others. Am I saying it? Has to do with blessing churches and blessing pastors and blessing others. When he retires in about 10 years, 5 years, several months, whatever it is, praise God. But it has to do with being a blessing. And I get in there, and they had to turn people away, but they're all these, I mean, sweet family family members. I mean, Anthony was there and Crystal, and they gave a seminar on plant-based nutrition, and right there just free, you know. It was me. That was amazing. That was worth going. But they're cheering and praying over him and blessing him and speaking things. Now watch, this is what I love. His truck was over on the, his arm was out the window. Window, of course, was down, obviously. And his arm's hanging out the window, and that's the side that the truck goes down on. He could have had his arm ripped out and lost. And the window comes smashing around. I was tempted to say what I wanted to say, but I thought, I can't say that because it's too hilarious. That mirror came around and did what I've been wanting to do for a long time. No, I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing. I'm teasing. Woo. I'm totally teasing. I love what he says. Pastor, you've told me so many times, you do not know how much grace God has put on you. Hey, none of us know how much grace he's put on all of us. We wouldn't be here. Huh? Honey, we wouldn't be here. Come on now. We wouldn't be praising him. We wouldn't have our minds clear and our hearts straight without the grace of God. We wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't know him. We wouldn't know his name. We wouldn't know how to serve him. Grace of God's been on us in a wonderful way. He's laying there. And this is how I knew everything was going to be okay. He's cracking one-liners. He looked like he got in a street fight and maybe lost it. I mean, he looked worse later when all the bruises set in. But I think he said, you should have seen the other guy. If you think I look rough, you should have seen me. I mean, and I think he said something like this before I got there. It's going to take more than this to take me out. What are you talking about? I'm telling you what, when you got God living in here, you can go through all kinds of craziness and you can bounce back and say, I'm going to make it up to the top of the next hill. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is saved. I'm going to climb the next mountain. I'm going to climb the next hill, and God's going to help me. God's going to help me rise above. The three Hebrew children came out of that furnace. You couldn't even, the Bible says you couldn't even smell the smoke on them. Some folks go through a trial, you can smell the smoke on them for 6 months in testimony service. Well, I've been through many things. Pray for me. The devil's been chasing me all day long. And you hear junk like that for 6 months. Somebody said, if you meet the devil in the middle of your day, at least you know you're not going the same direction. Yeah. And he's entertaining us. Almost killed. Almost held up that whole highway for how long? But hours. Shut down. This is probably one of the greatest parts of it. You just shut down a highway. And he's in that hospital room, and he's entertaining us. What does that tell you and me? Never lose the big picture. He's already given me a vision of my future. He's got work for me to do. Hallelujah. It's going to take more than this to take me out. Oh, praise God. Never lose your sense of humor. If you don't have one, just look in the mirror. I get up in the morning, Brother Bruce, and I look in the mirror and I think, oh my God, have mercy. That is me. Help me, Jesus. Lord, have mercy on Mr. Percy. Wow, do I really look that bad in the morning? I need a shower desperately. I need shampoo, head and shoulders. Oh, Father, I need your mercy. So if you don't have a sense of humor, look in the mirror when you get up in the morning and you'll laugh your way all the way to church because God's been good to you and you didn't deserve it. God's hand is on you. His mercy is on you and you didn't earn it. Oh, yeah. He never lost his sense of humor. So Joseph says, because he had purchased God's Polaroid of the big picture. That's all right, boys. Don't beat yourselves up. I know that maybe your motivations weren't the purest, but God meant it for good. And God raises up that boy named Joseph, and he saves a nation. 7 years of blessing and 7 years of famine, and everybody from all points of the world were coming to buy corn out of his hand and out of their storage vaults. Because God raised up a man who had a sense of the bigger picture. Isn't that amazing? Here we go. Brother Bernard was up preaching. Some people think he's just a teacher. I mean, our general superintendent, he's more than a teacher. He is a soul winner. And he is a preaching machine. And Sister Gina, Sister Esther, he started telling some of the miracles that they've had in their church and in their daughter works. And it took him about 15 minutes just to hit the highlights. But I got to tell you about one of them as we close. One of the miracles. As we soften the lights and just sort of open our hearts, if you would. Let him give you the big picture. You're not here by accident. You're not here by accident. His hand is on your life. He's not done with you. I have news. Good news for you. He's not done with you. He's not even close to being done. Sometimes we quit and God's still going strong. Oh, hallelujah. Don't quit till the chubby lady yodels. Yeah. And the fat lady sings. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. We heard some stories at general conference of some of the things that my friends have been through. And you know how it made us feel? It made us feel like we haven't been through nothing. We haven't been through anything. When you really think. So he tells about this couple. And I've only heard him tell it once, so I'm going to try to be as accurate as I can. If I remember correctly, she was in the church, and I think maybe he had started attending, or I don't know how deep he was yet, but he had come under a depression. Anybody know what depression feels like? Oh my, God has some fresh joy for you. God has some fresh joy. I'll let Bob just pray over anybody. Some of that humor and joy spill out that he's got so uniquely expressed in his personhood. He said, got a phone call, and the sister told him, Brother Bernard, my husband's been in this depression, and he's just gone into a room and locked the door, and he's got a gun in his hand, and he said he's going to kill himself. Told her, stay on the phone. He was praying for him, praying for the man, praying for the sister, praying for him. And trying to ask God to intervene, do something here. The man walked into that room and took the pistol and stuck it in his mouth and locked the door. And they were praying and praying and praying. All of a sudden, they heard a gunshot. Said something. He got on the phone because his wife was handing him the phone. He said, Brother Bernard, I don't know how to explain this, but I missed. I don't know how you could miss at that kind of close range, but he missed, and he's in that church today, I understand, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. He's got larger purposes. Larger purposes. Sometimes we swim in the small ones until we're almost drowned, missing the bigger picture, the bigger purposes. Joseph, you're gonna sit on a throne. You're gonna rule with Pharaoh. There's coming a day when the world will look to you, but he couldn't hardly believe that, going through all the betrayal and all the discovery and all the hurt and all the pain. The patchwork quilt, he wore a coat of many colors, many pieces sewn together. God's purposes. Lift your hand right now. Would you with me in Jesus' name? I'm going to open this altar. I'm going to open it up and ask you to come, if you would, and stand with us a few moments. It might be that God just wants to show you. He wants to give you encouragement and show you everything you're going through. It matters. You're going to be better. You're going to be more equipped. Your heart's going to bump into some things that you've lost. You're going to bump into some things that you've lost. Oh, Father God, as we take a few moments, praise God. And with that sings, oh, Father, we open our heart and spirit to you. Let me catch the bigger picture.
Are you hurting and broken within?
Jesus,
overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from
the
well? Jesus is calling.
A blessing on them. Be used of God. Be sensitive to
the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.